God's love is the love that saves, and we're going to be starting with the book of Jonah. Now, a little bit about Jonah. Jonah was reluctant to leave the land of Canaan to bring God's message to Nineveh. We know about the story of Jonah. Now, I'll say excuse me before, because I get Jonah and Noah confused from time to time. I don't know if any of you others do that. Okay? Jonah was reluctant to leave the land of Canaan to bring God's message to Nineveh, the capital of Israel's hated enemies, the Assyrians. The Lord, however, did not allow him to escape his calling. Having finally performed his duty, Jonah became angry when the Ninevites repented and God postponed the announcement of devastation of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, Israel's hated enemies. The book of Jonah shows that God's mercy is not limited to the chosen people of Israel, but it also highlights the insensitivity that the chosen people, the Israelites, themselves have from this concern of God's. In the New Testament, Jesus refers to the death, burial, and resurrection just as the word of God was brought to Nineveh after Jonah was swallowed and regurgitated by the great fish. So too, the gospel was brought to the Gentile nation after Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day. Jonah means dove. A little bit about Jonah. And he was the son of Amittai. And Amittai means truth or trustworthiness. Before I read into this scripture, I'd like to ask a couple of questions. Was Jonah a prophet or a servant of God? Something to think about. Did Jonah love the Ninevites? Could Jonah's love save the Ninevites? And whose love saved them? Again, in the book of Jonah, Jonah was to bring God's message to Nineveh. But yes, again, he was reluctant to do it. However, the word of God was brought to get them to repent. Even though Jonah was against sparing Nineveh, God did not allow Jonah to escape his duty. Having finally performed God's will, Jonah became angry when the Ninevites believed God. They believed God and repented. As a result of their repentance, God postponed the pronounced destruction of Nineveh. Again, was Jonah a prophet of God? Did Jonah love the Ninevites? Could Jonah's love save the Ninevites? Whose love saved them? It was God's love that saved them. Now, there was a man by the name of Oshea. Do we know who, have we heard of the word Oshea, the name Oshea in the Bible? Oshea, which is the same name as Hosea, his name was changed to Joshua. In Numbers 13:8, it says, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea was the son of Nun. In Numbers 13, verse 16, it says, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea. His name was once Oshea, the son of Nun, and Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Oshea means one that saves a life. You know, in the book of Hosea, Hosea was, time and time again, saved the life of his wife, Gomer, that was a prostitute. And he went and retrieved it time and time again. But Joshua means God saves. And which salvation would you rather have? Or would you rather be saved in the flesh or saved in the spirit? Would you rather be saved temporarily or saved eternally? We ought to be saved eternally. Jonah 1:1, and Jonah's really short. We'll go to the whole book. The whole book of Jonah is really short. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Why did God want Jonah to cry against Nineveh? So that they could repent. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. This is Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, that's a little g, their little god, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So there was a storm going on, and Jonah was fast asleep. Does that remind anybody of a scripture, a New Testament scripture? I'll tell you, it's in Matthew 8:24, Mark 4:38, and Luke 8:23, where Jesus was asleep when the storm was brewing. And they said, Master, we perish. And he walked up and said, peace, be still. So this is a reminder. Verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Now, that's a big G there, isn't it? Because the writer knew that this is talking about the real one true God. Call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Isn't it a wonder how these heathen folk can cast lots and it come upon Jonah? You think that was God's doing to show them that it was Jonah? Verse 7. And they said everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? They want to know, who is this God, and why is this storm happening? Verse 9, we'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for download of great a cappella singing and gospel preaching. Verse 9 again. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid. Do you think that they knew about God, the one true God? Do you think that they had knowledge of him from before, maybe way back when Egypt was destroyed? Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Jonah told them what they had to do. Jonah told them what they needed to do. It was simple. Throw them into the sea, and the storm will be calm. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Ever notice sometimes that when you see what the Word of God says to do, ever notice sometimes that you think that you can do it your own way? Has anybody ever tried their own way after that, knowing what the will of God is? I can do it myself. Let me try this way first. Why is it that we have to try all the wrong ways that doesn't work until we finally get to the conclusion, let's try this way. Let's try God's way. Jonah said, throw him out of the ship. Okay? Verse 13 again. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but guess what? But they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Whose God are they crying to? Not their own little gods, not anymore, because they couldn't help them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Jump ahead of the game here. You know, Jonah disobeyed God and went the wrong way. But you know what? I imagine that some of these people in this ship, because Jonah went the wrong way, some of these guys repented and became true believers in God. Amen. Verse 15. So they took up Jonah, finally, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Some people say it was a whale. Some people say it was a big fish. I say it was a fish prepared by God to swallow Jonah. God might have made this one big fish just for Jonah. Nobody may have ever seen the like of it whatsoever. I wonder how that fish tasted. By the way, Matthew 12 and 40, he speaks of this, saying, the sign of Jonah, that so shall the Son of Man be in, listen to this, in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, what does that mean, the heart, the cardia of the earth? Does that mean in the grave? Well, he doesn't say grave. Does that mean in the middle of the earth where there's this big ball of magma? You think he was right there? No, it doesn't say that either. It says the heart of the earth. Now, geographical location, geographically located, okay? What was the center of the earth at that time? Wasn't it Jerusalem? Now, it could be, but it's just something to think about. I'm going to continue. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Jonah's repenting now. Can you imagine being in the fish, in the belly of a fish, 3 days and three nights in stinky darkness with stuff moving around and weeds and all that stuff? And you're in the belly of the fish. And you don't know time. You don't have your stopwatch. It says 3 days and three nights, but Jonah didn't have his stopwatch. 6 p.m., I'm here. Okay, now the whale swallowed me, and there it is. Okay, now, no, he didn't know time. It seemed like 6 weeks, maybe 6 months. If you're in darkness for 3 days, And you can't tell time. I'll tell you what, it seems like longer. Then Jonah prayed, this is Jonah 2:1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. He heard him. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. So he says hell here, and this is the word shoal for grave. So it's kind of like, it's like he's in a grave. It's like he's dead. What can he do in the belly of a fish? Who can he save there? Who can he win to God? And I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods come past me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. You notice something? There is one thing that causes good prayers. I was about to give a, I could give a good prayer right now. Suffering. When you go through stuff, that's when good prayers come out. One suffering, and then another one is jubilation. Sometimes I get so happy when things are going good, I just am loaded with prayer to God. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise. So when you go through suffering, prayer, pray. When you go through good stuff, you know, that good, yummy, delicious stuff that we want all the time, every time, pray. Thank God. It's a good reason to do it. Verse 3 again. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods come past me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. He's in misery. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Jonah has repented. And what was he repenting of? His disobedience to God. When we are disobedient to God, we should repent. Let us repent. I wish that I would repent every time. Let me not become stubborn. Let me not, if God has to turn the heat up in my life and throw me into the belly of a fish with that stinky, messy, slimy, so that I can repent. The waters come past me about, verse 5 again, the waters come past me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. Doesn't that sound a little familiar? Matthew 27:29, they platted a crown of thorns and put it on Jesus' head. Now, that may be not be exactly weeds, but it was wrapped around his head as maybe a reminder. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. So Jonah's in the belly of the whale, the belly of the fish, rather. And he's seeing already that God is going to save him. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. That they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. You know, he's saying this prayer while he's in the belly of the fish. That's pretty faithful. Faithful. Even in the midst of struggle, I could thank God and say, I know you're going to deliver me, and I'm going to speak it as I am delivered already because I am in the will of God. And the Lord spake unto the fish, verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, can you imagine? I don't know if you can imagine anybody coming out of a fish after 3 days. Can you imagine what they would look like? and what they would smell like. Some people say that because of the enzymes or whatever that was, you know, in the belly of the fish, that he may have appeared white. His skin might have been bleached. So he's coming out there, and God tells him again, let's go into Jonah 3:1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. What was he supposed to preach? The preaching that God bid thee, the word of God. And you can refer back to chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So he's going up there, and he's going to verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, I would imagine that Jonah told them to repent. I would imagine that Jonah said, repent, you sinners. I don't care about you anyway. I hope you die for all I care. But because God sent me to give this word, whose love saves? Not Jonah's love. He can hate him all he wants, but what he gave him was God's love through God's word. You got to know that. Okay? So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Nineveh, verse 3 again. Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. This is like 1, 2, 3, 8 words in English. But in Hebrew, it's only 4 words. Let's see if I can pronounce this right. Arbayim Yom Nineveh Hafak. And if those were the 4 words that he was saying, that's all he said. And Nineveh believed, who did they believe? Did they believe Jonah? They believed God. They believed God because they knew that Jonah was sent from God. They had to know that Jonah was sent from God. And Jonah was maybe a little smelly, a little pale, a little weeds all around him. You know, they might have said, whoa, what's wrong with this guy? Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. They repented. We in America need to repent. But that's a long story. Back to this. Verse 6. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Whoa, they didn't even drink water. Now that's tough to do. I've tried that maybe for a day or two. And I tell you, it's tough. It's tough enough not to eat food. So these guys really repented. They must have known of God from somewhere, about God from somewhere, and simply they didn't want to be destroyed. What causes a person to repent? Well, the goodness of God. God is so good, makes me so happy. I'm saying, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. I repent of all the wrong I've done because you've been so good to me. Amen. And then godly sorrow. Lord, I've been punished enough by you. I've been punished enough by the world. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of living this life. I want you now, dear Lord. Please help me. Amen. And then, with the goodness of God, the godly sorrow, and then the fear. A fear of eternal punishment, the fear of punishment. God, I don't want to be punished. I'm jumping in. That'll work too. What causes you to repent causes you to repent. If you really repent, then repent. Verse 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yeah, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. I would urge America to do that right now. What if America did this right now? Oh boy, it'd take a couple of years to get it all right, won't it? But what if America did that right now? You imagine how great we would be? Or how great we could have been? Yeah, wow. Who can tell, verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Because it looks to me like we're about to crumble. We need God. I urge you to pray for America. Please. Might help, might work. And we ought to also preach God to others. Let us preach God to others, because some of them don't even know God. A lot of them do. But why not preach to others? And God saw their works, verse 10, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented, God turned from the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. Now, whose love saves? Not Jonah's. I might have time to tell you a little story. When I was a bus driver, you know, and I became a Christian and I wanted to win the souls to Christ, I wanted to win everybody to Christ. So this one guy come in and I'm trying to win him to Christ. And you know, when you're trying to win a person to Christ, you're trying to show the fruits of love. So I was really nice to him. I'd give him free rides. I'd go over there on a lunch break. I'd give him some of my lunch, you know. But every time I tried to do something good for him, he just, you know, like, I don't know. Oh, you're one of those Christians. Yeah. Oh, you're trying to get me saved. Oh, well, you're doing it all wrong. You know, I'm like, I'm doing it all wrong. Yeah, apparently. And he would day by day, every time I saw him, I tried to be good. But all he did was see me as a weak person that he could take advantage of. And he did. So one day he said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I got mad. And to say it as plainly as I can, you said something wrong, you've done me wrong, and I'm angry with you. And he says, ha-ha, that's not the Christian. You're not a Christian. That's not the way the Christian do. You're supposed to love me, and you're supposed to do all this. And I'm like, are you kidding? And this is what I told him. I would rather hate you and you make it to heaven than for me to love you and you burn in hell forever. And then I shut up. Whose love saves? Amen. And I'll tell you something else, too. You know, God saves you, and God adds you to the church. I thank God that I didn't add you to the church, because I might get mad at you, and if I did, I might get mad at you and say, get out, go. That's how people are. I'm trying to be more like God. Amen. We should all try to be more like God. Amen. Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Oh, what's wrong with that guy? And he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Now look at this. Jonah knows God. Was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. I mean, that is the description of God. Aren't we glad that God's a God like that? Who would be upset at that? I wouldn't be. The sinner I've been. Jonah knew that he was a merciful God. Verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, listen to this. Take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. What is this, some kind of joke? Then said the Lord, he asked him a question, doest thou well to be angry? Is it good for you to be angry for this? Because God's merciful, because God's loving, because God's kind, because God's perfect? Don't you think there are some people in America today that are angry because God is perfect? Funny thing, isn't it? Verse 5, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. Now look at this. And sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So Jonah was still, apparently, Jonah was still hoping that the city perished. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing to see God's destruction on a city? Don't you think that'd be interesting to see? Now, if it happened, I wouldn't want to look at it because I might turn into a pillar of salt. You know what happened to Lot's wife. So no, I wouldn't want to look at that. So Jonah went out, verse 5 again. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Jonah was mad because people didn't get destroyed, but he was happy about a little plant. Well, a little plant that gave him shade. Isn't there sometimes we wonder that people are more concerned about other things than people? People are more concerned about animals? I saw this on TV, a rescue team with boats going to save animals. And I was like, well, what about the people? Shouldn't we be more concerned with people than with animals? I mean, it's good to like animals. I mean, I like chicken. All right, not that funny. I like beef too. Anyway, verse 7, but God prepared a worm, and when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. A vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Is something wrong with this guy? And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000, by the way, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You notice that God punished Jonah twice for two reasons. One, because he disobeyed God, he threw him in the belly of the fish. Okay, well, you know, he's cast out into it. And then another one is because he hated Nineveh. So God prepared a gourd and then destroyed the gourd, and then this heat, and Jonah wants to die. So, if we don't want to be punished by God, then let us be obedient to God. If we don't want to be punished by God, then let us love our neighbor and not be faking the funk. In the book of John, chapter 21, I have to go quickly. Jesus questions Peter concerning his love for him. John 21, starting with verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times, right? Remember, Jesus said, Peter said, I'll lay down my life for you. Now, that's right. Peter had it right in word, but he didn't have that in his heart. He had it right in word. Because Jesus says no greater love than a man laid down his life for his friends. So Peter had that right. He just didn't have it in his heart to perform it. John verse 21, chapter 21 again, verse 15. Now, I'm going to break this down a little bit. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. There it is, Jonas again. Jonas means dove. Loveth. This word here, when he says loveth, that is agapao. Lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That word love, Peter says, it's not agapao. It is phileo. So Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me with the love of God that you're supposed to love me with? And Peter says, yeah, but he's really saying no. He says, no, Lord, I don't love you with the love of God that I'm supposed to love you with, but I'm fond of you. Whether we believe that we love God or not, Jesus is telling Peter how to love God. This is something we should learn from here. We got to learn how to love God. Whether you believe you love God or not, if you learn how to do it and do it, then you love God. Again, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, agapao, thou me, more than these? And he said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee, I'm fond of thee. He saith unto them, feed. And that word for feed is bosco. It actually means to feed. Like to spoon feed. Bosco my lambs. This word lambs is arnion. Arnion, and that's a baby sheep. How do we in the church get baby sheep? We got to birth them out. Except you be born again of water and of spirit. You ain't going to become baby sheep. So Jesus is giving the implication, if you want to call it, that in order to feed baby sheep, you got to birth out baby sheep. And how do you get baby sheep? By preaching the gospel. And the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So again, he saith unto him, this is verse 15 again, he saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. He saith unto them, feed, bosco, my lambs. Verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agapao thou me? He saith unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. Again, Peter's saying, I don't love you with the love that I'm supposed to love you with, but I am fond of you. I love you with brotherly kindness. And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, this word here for feed, that's not bosco. The second time Jesus says feed, that is the word poimeno. That means to shepherd. That means to look after the sheep. Got that? Interesting stuff. Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time. Now, you know that Peter denied him three times, right? And Jesus knew it after Peter said he would lay down his life for him. So, verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, the third time, Jesus used the word phileo. So Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me with the godly love that you're supposed to love me with? And Peter says, no, I don't, but I'm fond of you. because he knew he denied him three times. Then Jesus said again, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me with the godly love that you're supposed to love me with? And the second time, Peter says, no, but I'm fond of you with the brotherly kindness. And then Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me with the brotherly kindness and the fondness, you know, that you say you love me with? And then he's like, oh. Because what was he afraid of? He was afraid that he'd deny him again. You know, he knew that God knew his heart better than he did. God knows my heart better than I do. God knows your heart better than you do. Repent of your sins. So, again, 17, I'll read it through. He says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, phileo thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, phileo thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed, Bosco, my sheep. So, how do we love God? By feeding his sheep. By bringing forth Christians, baby sheep. See? In the Great Commission, in Matthew, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Verse 19, 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back up a little bit. Go ye therefore and teach. That word is matthetheuo. That means to make disciples. How do you make disciples? By preaching the gospel. And then those that obey the gospel become Christians. They become baby sheep. Go ye therefore and matthetheuo all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching. Now, verse 20, that is the didasco. It actually means to teach. Them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that gospel must be heard, must be believed, must be obeyed. Now, how do you obey it? If the gospel is death, burial, and resurrection, there has to be a death, a burial, a resurrection in your life. And that is so you can be added to the body of Christ. If you're not added to the body of Christ, and I said this before, I can't add you to the body of Christ. It is God. And fortunately, I thank God that I was added to the body of Christ by him and not by anyone else. Amen. So if any of you are not a Christian right now, you can become one right now. You can become one right now. We'll get you baptized. If you are a Christian and you've fallen back and if you've been in sin, you can repent. You know, if you've obeyed the gospel, then repentance is just a prayer away. It won't take long, but you got to repent. We got response cards. If you'd like to fill them out, if you'd like to make intercession on someone else's behalf, you can fill those response cards right now. Why don't you do that right now? While we stand and sing our invitational song, Brother Ken.